We welcome all of you to Blessed Hope, and we don't care how you got here. We're just glad you're here. If you caught the bus, welcome. If you walked, welcome. If you caught a cab, welcome. If you hitchhiked, welcome. If you pulled up in your Hummers, we welcome you. And the message that we're about to deliver is going to be available on our website at www.bhbcstl.org. These messages that come out of this pulpit are absolutely free of charge. We sell nothing. We have no bookstore, online, or in person. Everything I preach is free. In fact, as I was sharing with you earlier, an individual from the Church of God in Christ called me and asked me if it is okay if he preached my sermons. I said, as long as you don't charge for them. The Word of God comes without price. Freely give, freely receive, freely give. And he says, no problem. And so he had been listening to the messages online and says, hey, you don't mind if I preach these, do you? I said, you go right ahead because it's God's message. I own nothing. Amen? And so please, if you want to hear this message again in its entirety again or share it with a coworker or a family member, just go to bhbcstl.org, download it, and you are welcome to have it at your leisure for your own personal strength. God bless you. We're in this series entitled, Don't Give Up, Look Up. And one of the most powerful weapons that Christians have when facing tough times is the joy of the Lord. Did you know that your joy is a weapon in hard times? Did you know that your joy is what gets you through when times are hard? And many times we don't use that weapon of joy because we don't know that we have it. And then if we know that we have it, we don't know how to apply it. And so this morning, we want to let you know today that you have joy. And we're going to tell you why you got joy. Because the Word of God says you got joy. Well, I don't feel like I got joy. Hey, let's do this. Let's not go by our feelings, but let's go by what the Word declares concerning us. Amen? So while you got your pain and your ache and your arthritis, amen, you still got some joy too, along with your diabetes and along with your this and your that and the bills you can't pay. You got joy. Oh, yes, you do. You got joy today. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't know about you, but I got me some joy. Hallelujah. The scripture for our series again is found in Psalms number 5, where David was confronted with an enemy and he had placed his trust in the Lord. And as a result, he got joy. Let me read that for you. Psalms number 5. Psalms number 5, and you can join us there as well. And this is a psalm that is a prayer and a song. How many of you know that your prayers can become songs to the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. It is a prayer and a song. So let me read the lyrics. It says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. That's why you don't brag. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way plain or straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. How many of you know some folk like that? Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all those who put their trust in you, let them ever shout for joy Hallelujah. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. Glory to God. Now, we're going to look today at verses 11 and 12, which says this: but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy. That means shout all the time. Be joyful all the time. To say let them ever means no matter what you're going through, you should be shouting. And not just shouting, but shouting for joy. Hallelujah. Because you, O Lord, defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. I'm going to teach you how to love God's name. What it means to love the name of the Lord. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. David begins this psalm in the very first verses 1, 2, and 3, crying out to God, Lord, hear my meditation, hear my voice, hear my cry. But he ends it with worship. In other words, he begins his prayer bringing his trouble to God, but then he ends it bringing his praise to God. And when you come before the Lord, you can bring him your trouble, you can bring him your problems, you can bring him your pitfalls, your disappointments, your inadequacies, and the mistakes you made. But when you finish praying, make sure that you praise him. David teaches us how to do that. He started out with worry and he ended with worship. He wasn't just simply talking to God, he was depending on God. And some of us, we know how to talk to God. We know the right words. We know how to phrase them just right. We know how to say things like, Father God, and in that name that is above every name, and in the strong name of Jesus. But can you depend on him? Hallelujah. Because when you turn your worries and your trouble over to God, it's no longer yours but his. And so you say, well, what do I have left? Nothing but a shout, baby. Because you don't have no more problems. Why? Because God has taken possession of your trouble. That's what prayer does. The Bible says, cast all our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares about us. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you. Get that old yoke of sin and addiction and bondage off your neck. Take my yoke. And you'll find that it's easier serving me than serving you. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? Jesus says, it's easier to serve me than serving you. Serve me and your life will be better off because my yoke is easier than yours. My burden is lighter than yours. You can bring all your trouble to God. You can bring all your worry to God. But once you get through taking your trouble to God, you know what? Don't get off your knees with the same degree of worry and anxiety that you went to him with. You haven't done nothing. Prayer should change you. Or you haven't prayed. Don't tell me I ain't prayed. Well, are you still troubled? Yeah, well, you ain't prayed. If you going to God with trouble and you getting up off your knees with trouble, you haven't prayed. But when you go to God with trouble and get off your knees with praise, you done. Let's move on in Jesus' name. Because the God that I serve is a mighty God. The God that I serve is a prayer-hearing God. In fact, the Lord hears prayers that I don't even say. He answers those as well. I thank God that just the words out of my mouth don't constitute my prayers, but I have other stuff that I be dealing with, but I'm praying for this person over here, and God is working that program, and he's working my program at the same time. That's why Paul reminds us that we don't really know how to pray. That's why the Holy Ghost has been given to us, who speaks on our behalf. We're in weakness, this infirmity of weakness, of knowing the heart of God. And the Spirit of God takes this weak and feeble and frail prayer, and he translates it into a celestial language. And that's how your prayer gets answered. See, you speak, but you're not speaking God's kingdom. So the Spirit of God takes that language that is inferior and degenerate, and he converts it. And say, Lord, this is what he really meant. Because he don't really know what he's talking about. This is what he... Yeah, now... He don't know how to pray, Lord. Forgive him, Lord. He don't know how to pray. Let me, this is what he meant. This is what she meant. She's been praying for 20 minutes. She ain't said nothing. Here, Lord, this is what she meant. This is what she meant to say. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Takes that tired prayer we pray the same way every single day and say, this is what they really got going on, Father. This is what they, this is the truth behind what they're saying. And God said, well, I'll answer that one. I'm going to deal with that one because this one isn't even in line with me. I'll deal with the one that the Spirit of God presents to me. I'm going to deal with that one because if I got to deal with this one in its raw form, I don't know what to do with that. See, I don't know what to do with, I need a job. I don't know what to do with that. But I know what to do with encouragement. See, God, he goes beyond stuff and says, okay, what you need is me. And so he has to do that work of translation. Come on, y'all, you know it's true. Amen. And thank God that he's translating that word for you. Hallelujah. David says, let all those, that mean everybody in this room, rejoice who put their trust in you. Now, earlier I stated to you that I'm going to tell you why you have joy. You have joy if you trust him. Amen. Joy is not something you ask for. It is something you receive the moment you place your faith in God. Did y'all hear that? Yes. See, joy, Lord, I just wish I had joy. Trust me. Is what God is saying to you. That's the answer to that wish. He is saying, trust me and you'll get joy. When you have joy in Jesus, it means that you have placed complete trust over the issue in his hands. In his hands. God does not only know how to translate the words that come out of your mouth into the celestial language that he can deal with, he knows how to translate tears. Because there might be times when you don't have the strength to pray, and all you can do is, as the old saints say, if I couldn't say nothing, I just wave my hand. God hears the prayer of that wave. God hears the words that fall from your eyes. You say, you mean the tears? No, I mean the words. See, you call them tears. God calls them petitions. God calls them petitions. Remember Hannah, the mother of Samuel. She couldn't have no children. And she went to God in prayer, but she didn't have the strength to pray. So she just sat there before the Lord and wept bitterly. And the priest who was operating the temple said, woman, put away your liquor. And she said, it is not liquor or drunkenness, but it is sorrowful of spirit. And he said, well, may God answer your prayer. Next year she had Samuel. I just got a letter from Chrissy Winslow, one of the missionaries that we support in Nepal. And in her letter, she said, we had planned to come to Nepal, and after 2 years, then we would begin to have children. Well, I'm pregnant now, and they've been there for 6 months. And she says, you know what's interesting? We haven't been able to have a child in 6 years. So while they were here in America with all of the medical care and treatment that they could ever want to have a baby, couldn't get pregnant. But the moment they answered the call to go to Nepal, where she can't have the baby, she gets pregnant. And so she has to have the baby in Thailand. Because Nepal does not have the facilities to have the child. And you say, wait a minute. So while she was praying for a baby in America with all of its facilities, God said no. The moment she goes to a country where they don't have the facilities, he says yes. Why? Because the miracle and the glory must be his. He's not going to let the obstetrician get nothing from this. Yes, and I've actually emailed her message to the entire church family, so you'll be receiving that newsletter from her. But isn't it amazing what God does with prayer? That's why you rejoice. Now, you may not know exactly what and when he's going to do and when he's going to do it, but you can have joy right now. You can have joy right now. I think I'm going to lose my job. You can have joy. Why? You should ever shout for joy. ever shout for joy. Why? Because God is going to defend you. God is going to take care of you. God is going to watch over you. He's going to protect you. He is a keeper. And if you haven't tried him today, I recommend him. He is a keeper. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They can repossess your car. They can repossess your home. They can repossess everything else. But they cannot repossess your Holy Ghost. They cannot repossess your faith. They cannot repossess your joy. They don't have that because that's owned by God. You got that. You got the deed to that. You ain't making payments on joy. Jesus made that payment at Calvary. That's your joy. That's yours. You own that. You own that joy. You have a right to that joy. You have a right to be happy. Why are you walking around with your head hanging down? Well, you just don't know. I do know. You just need to trust in Jesus. Always be ready to shout for joy. Why? Because you know that God has your back. Listen to me, beloved. When you was out there in the clubs and when you was doing your own thing as a sinner, on your way to hell, in a handbasket, if you will, didn't God have your back then? When you was getting drunk, getting high, and getting whatever else, you was big and bad enough, didn't you live? Didn't you have food on your table? Y'all not hearing me. Y'all don't want me to preach. Didn't you have clothes on your back? Then if God kept you while you were on the way to hell, how much more is he going to keep you if you are covered by the blood of Jesus? Why are you telling me you're going to lose your house and I'm going to lose my mind? You didn't lose your mind when you was in sin and God washed over your sin from behind. Why wouldn't he do it now? You closing the club in East St. Louis. God kept you. You having a buzz on the highway, driving yourself home. And God kept that car, made sure your sinful self got home. And now you upset because you don't think he can do it while you his child? Well, I just don't know. You didn't know when you was a sinner? Why are you treating God like you a sinner? Well, that's because he was merciful. And he isn't now? Why would he treat somebody else's kids better than his own kids? That makes no sense to me. Why would he treat the devil's kids better than his own kids? You washed in the blood and you not gonna make it. But you know what? You know how many sinners I know who keep pressing and fighting? And the saints, they just wilt. Who watching over you? Who watching over you? God is watching over you. Let us ever shout for joy. Isaiah 59, 19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Why? So that the enemy won't get to you. So that the enemy won't get to you, beloved. Some folk like to save their shout for church service. I save my shout for the enemy. Amen. Yeah, they got to wait till church and they hear their right song. Wardell hits that organ and bam, there we go. There we go. We must be on cable. It's time to shout. That's my cue. You know how that TV Christianity is. Everybody shouting and then everybody won't speak to each other. That's what one brother told me who came out of that background. Everybody's shouting, but nobody can't talk to each other. Amen. I save my shout for trouble. I save my shout for the storms he's gonna bring me through. For the bills that he's going to pay. For the doors that he's going to open. I'm not gonna quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep looking up. Why? Because I know he's going to defend me. I know he's going to make a way for me. That's why I shout. Not because I'm trying to look good shouting, but because I got a reason and a right to shout. David goes on, let those also who love your name be joyful in you. To love the name of the Lord is to cherish it and to regard it as holy. This means that when we speak of his name, we should do so realizing that he is holy and reverent and he is the one true God. And let's be careful and let's be clear. There is only one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. There is only one. There's just one. I'm sorry to break it down like that. And we're not here to vilify or put down anybody else's faith. That's not what we do at Blessed Hope. But I just want to be clear. There's only one. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. For there is neither no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. As I've taught you before, when someone asks if you believe that Jesus is the only way, I want you to tell them this. Do not quote John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Don't quote them that. Take them a couple of verses down and tell them this word from Jesus, where Jesus says, have I been with you so long, Philip, that you ask, show us the Father? Philip, watch this. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. My friends, Jesus is not the way to God. Jesus is God. Quit trying to tell people that Jesus is the way like he's a street. Jesus is God. That's why we worship him. Jesus never told somebody, don't worship me, I'm not do that. When they worship, he received it. Why? He's God. Why do you think they put him on a cross? They tried to stone him at least twice. Well, why did they try to stone him? Because he said that he was God. He is God incarnate, or God made flesh. That's why we believe in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he is God. Yes. Quit quoting that tired fundamentalist verse. Jesus is the only way. He's God. Amen. That verse understates him. Quit trying to point the way like it's a road. If you just walk down this street, he's God. That's who he is. And we cannot deny it. And you can deny it if you want to, but the word speaks for itself. The word speaks for itself. Well, what do we know about the name of the Lord? Here are some references for you. Psalms 8:1. David says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Psalms 111:9 says, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Psalm 124:8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. That's why when I text, I don't use OMG. I know it's quiet. Because when I'm going to talk about God, let me talk about him for who he is. Because his name is holy. His name is reverend. His name is not a part of your abbreviated text language. His name is holier than that, my friend. Now you can say O-M-M like, oh, my mama, or O-M-D, oh, my dad, but not, oh, my God. Hallelujah. O-M-U, oh, my uncle, whatever. Because he is holy. He's holy. Yes, he is. And those of you who think that you can just get away with it, the time will come when you'll recognize just how holy that name is. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. Verse 12 says, and here David is expressing the confidence that God will deliver him. Listen to me. Worship produces confidence in God. Let me give you that principle again. Worship of God produces confidence in God. Worship of God produces confidence in God. And there is a direct relationship between the level of passion you express in your worship and the level of confidence you have in the one you worship. So if you come here with a dry spirit, you'll leave with a dry spirit. But if you come with an open heart, God will fill it with his love and with his power and with his peace and with whatever else you lack. The church, you have to understand, is a place where people come, and it's not where they get a little something. It is where they come to get renewed and changed and transformed so that they can deal with this crazy mixed up world. But you got to bring something to the table besides your appetite. You got to want to eat. Instead of just crying, I'm hungry, then you need to know that the table is spread. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. And we got a lot of saints who want to cry about how bad things are, but they don't take the time to realize that God has already given them joy. Yes. You got joy. No, I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Well, you the lie. You're the liar. Because the word says, let those rejoice who what? Put their trust in you. So either one of two conditions exists. You either don't trust him because you don't have joy, or the word of God is a lie. Guess which one it is? Either you don't trust him or the word of God is a lie. Amen? Amen? But we know this, the word of God cannot fail. Heaven and earth will fail. That means it will be found with fault. But my word, you won't find no fault with it. My word will never fail. In other words, you'll never find a contradiction. You will never find where my word says this will happen and it doesn't. It will not fail. It doesn't mean expire. It means you will not be able to say, I found a problem in the Bible. Oh, no, you didn't. You got a problem. The Bible don't have problems, honey. The Bible solves problems. The Bible solves problems. It isn't the Bible you got a problem with. It's your heart. It's your heart that's got a problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word bless, where it says, you, Lord, will bless the righteous. It speaks of God rescuing those who are in trouble. It's not a financial blessing or a big old blessing where God opened the window of heaven and do all those wonderful things you want him to do. It means that if you're in trouble, because that's the context of this psalm, Lord, get me out of trouble. So David says, you'll bless the righteous. In other words, you will get them out of trouble. You will get them out of trouble. And so you have to understand, how did David come about that conclusion? Through worship. Through worship. My confidence in God comes from a desire to praise him. And why would I praise him? Because I know what he's capable of, and I know that he's working on my behalf. I know that. How do I know? Because I'm reminded by the Apostle Paul that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, to the called. That includes me. That includes you. We're called according to his purpose. And so all things, ups and downs, hills and valleys, work together for good to those who love God, to the called. Not to everybody, but to those who have been called according to his divine purpose, which is to be glorified in us. Bless the Lord. Who are the righteous ones? Well, let me tell you who they're not first. The righteous ones are not the ones who come to church and sit in church, and by virtue of their church attendance, God declares them righteous. It's not them. Oh, I know who it is. Well, that's good, but let me tell you who it's not. It's not the ones who live a good life. They don't smoke, they don't drink. They don't go to bars. They don't go to the movies. They live a clean life. And that's always been an irony for me. How can filth live clean? How can filth live clean? If my righteousnesses are filthy rags, how can I live clean? Somebody, man, you've been living a clean life, man. You done cleaned up your act. I can't clean me. Amen. That ain't true. I can't live clean. I'm filthy. So who are the righteous? The righteous, watch this, are those who have placed their faith in God and are walking in obedience to his word. Amen. That's who the righteous are. Amen? Amen? This is how Habakkuk puts it, the prophet Habakkuk. He says, the just or the righteous shall live how? By faith. In other words, righteousness is imputed. It is counted towards you. You don't earn it. It is conferred upon you. Are these words too big? It is conferred upon you. To confer means to declare you are this without you having necessarily done everything to deserve it, but I declare it of you. An imputation says this: I'm going to give you what I got because you can't get it by yourself. Amen. That's why you worship, because God has declared you righteous. But man, you don't know, I bought that lotto ticket last week. And when you did it, consider this. Now, can I just teach a little bit longer? Amen. You had faith. When you went and you looked at the Powerball on 170 and it said $107 million, you said, you've been looking at it, haven't you, Pastor? Uh-huh. Who won't look at a sign that's 50 feet big that says 170 million? What do you think, I'm blind? But unlike some of us, you turn off, go into the local convenience store, look around to make sure the saints aren't present. Put on your sunglasses, because you know they're videotaping you when you buy your ticket. You had faith. You had faith. Well, take that faith, that same faith, and put it in God. And if you do that, you have joy. Now, here's the difference. There's a good chance that the ticket you have in your hand is worthless. In fact, the chances of you getting hit by a meteor is greater than you winning that lotto. But you got so much faith. You have exchanged a dollar for a ticket. Here's the difference. That ticket will get you nothing. But if you place that same faith, now we're off of money. I ain't trying to get none out your pocket. But that faith, put it in the word, and the word will produce fruit in your life, because you're not buying a chance. I wish y'all could get it, but some of us need to pray just a little harder to get this. But you're not buying a chance. You're not placing a bet. When you put your trust in God, you are looking at a sure thing. The hymnist puts it this way: on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Why? Because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Hallelujah. David ends this saying, with favor, you will surround him, the righteous, as with a shield. One of the best examples of this occurs in 2 Kings chapter 6, where the prophet Elisha, there's a jah and a shah, this is Elisha, was surrounded by the army of Syria, and his servant or apprentice or mentee, if you will, said, Master, the Syrian army surrounds us. What shall we do? And Elisha prays this simple prayer: Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he beheld a legion upon legion of angels standing at the ready around the prophet and around the Syrian army. And the Syrian army comes and says, "Are you that prophet?" Elijah says, "Who want to know? I want to know." Elijah says, "Lord, strike them with blindness." And they were stricken with blindness. And Elijah says, "You all looking for Israel? Yes, go that way." And he leads them right into captivity. Listen to me, God is around you right here and right now. He is surrounding you as with a shield. That's why you don't want to give up and quit and throw in the towel. See, those are platitudes for people who don't have a Bible. That's what that's for. See, you got a Bible, and it's time that you pick it up, because the moment you pick it up, it's going to pick you up. You have to understand some things about the principles about how God works. God doesn't need a favor from you. You need favor from him. You're not doing nothing for him, praising him. But when you do, the worship blesses you. The worship blesses you more than it blesses him, because you have to understand there are people who are doing a lot worse than you who praise him. Y'all didn't hear that, but if you went to Darfur, you'd find the folk giving him praise. Like the gentleman who was here from Sudan just last week, he knows how to give God praise because of what the Lord has brought him through. But some of us, just because we didn't have the right pair of socks or our tie didn't match our suit, somehow for some reason, maybe somebody took your seat because you got here just a little bit late, because you spent too much time in the closet, because you woke up too late, because you spent all night watching cable, and then they got your seat, and when we praise him, you mad because somebody's sitting in your seat, baby, and they got the space on the parking lot. Y'all need more parking. You need to be here on time. You at your job on time. You was at the club on time. Show up on time to church then. Nobody apologizing to you. Park on the street. Come on in and serve the Lord. God is watching over us. 2 Samuel 22:3 says, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence." Psalm 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song will I praise him." Amen. Now, here's the point that I love about it. In the midst of his storm, David said, "I'm going to praise him." Why? Because he's a shield now. He's protection now. He is my standard now. You say, what's a standard? A standard is a barrier between the enemy and you that lets the enemy know, don't come no closer. That standard is the presence, as if your cousin came with you to the fight and they see your cousin and they say, "Man, I was just playing." That's God. God is your standard. You bring God to your trouble and watch the enemy. Man, I was just playing with you, man. I was just playing with you. Because can't nobody stand against your God. Can't no religion, can't no agenda, can't no politician, can't no nothing stand against God. Why? Well, Paul puts it this way. "I am persuaded that neither height," y'all don't want this, "that neither height nor depth, nor things present, nor things to come, nor principalities, nor powers, nor life, nor death, nor any other creature shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord." Why do I stand? Because I got something worth standing for, honey. I stand because of the word of God. I stand because God has never failed me. I stand because I know he'll make a way out of no way. I stand. He has proven himself to be faithful. That's why I stand. Not because I'm big and bad, because he is. He's big and bad. And I don't need to get all weary because Goliath come bearing his shield. I got God, who's bigger than that. Well, you stacked the deck. I sure did. You bringing in a ringer. I sure am. You say, well, that's not fair. You need to try my ringer. You can have them too. That's what I say to both. Well, you just trusting God, using him as a crutch. Amen. I'm not like some of y'all where I don't need God. Uh-uh. You won't hear me say those words. I need him. And I need him more than words can say, and so do you. You just don't know it yet. When the doctor tells you something's going on and he don't look right, you know how the doctor gives you that look? You find out just how quick prayer time can come. Some of my altars have not been at Blessed Hope Bible Church. I have sometimes found that my altar was at BJC Hospital in St. Peter's. Sometimes I was at an altar in the Christian Hospital Medical Center. Sometimes my altar were in places that I didn't think an altar could be constructed. But I found out today that wherever your need is, that's where your altar is. That's where your altar is. You don't have to run to no temple. Honey, there ain't no temple. So you don't need to run to no church, no conference. You don't need to buy a ticket. You don't need to be taught how to be healed. Listen to me. You just trust him. You don't need to go to nobody's convention. Just get into the word and let the word get right back in you. Say, Pastor, that just can't be. Let me give you a word right now that lets you know that you and God have a connection. It goes like this in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Who is that to you? That's for you. Why? Because we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but was in every instance tempted like as we, but without sin. That's why you can go to God. You know why? He knows where you are. Well, if I was at the right church, no, if you got the right heart, honey, quit church shopping and start trusting in Jesus. You hear what I said? Quit shopping for church and start trusting in God. Because the answer is not the church. The answer ain't Bishop so-and-so. Because if he is, then you need to worship him. But I've discovered that the arm of the flesh will fail you. The answer ain't Bishop so-and-so and Pastor so-and-so. The answer is, always has been, always will be, Jesus. Someone once said to me, well, you know, Pastor, after I preach, I have the people line up and I put oil on them and this, that, and the other, and this, that, and the other. I said, really? Yeah, man, you ought to try it. But that's not what the Word of God teaches me. That's not what the Word of God teaches me. You know what the Word of God teaches me? If God go heal you, he go heal you. Whether you believe it or not. Y'all didn't catch that. You think God needs something from you. You think he needs something from you to do something for you. He doesn't. He'll heal you because he feels like it. Hallelujah. Your job is to pray that he feels like it. That's your job. Your job is to pray that he feels like it. That's why he said, Lord, have mercy. Because you ain't got to, but it'd be nice if you did. That's the God I serve. That's the God I trust. If he's going to open the door, he'll open it. I went to, stop saying I. It's all God. That's why, you know, people walking around, let me lay my hand on you and you'll be healed. Let me tell you why God ain't letting people do that like you think. He ain't letting you share that. Do you really think he gonna share the stage with you? Come to my church and be healed. People got their little placard, come and be healed. Do you really think that's true? That God would allow you to put him on stage and say, okay, come on, God, heal, heal. Y'all better start reading a little more carefully. Because people are selling miracles. And the miracles aren't for sale, my friend. Well, I just believed and God healed me. No, you didn't. Just say this, he healed me and I don't know why. That's what you say. And some of y'all looking at me funny. You can cut off the tape. I done preached enough.